Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. I'm Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting this week from sunny Southern California, where everyone seems to have an Emmy on their mantle. Have you noticed that?
Oh my gosh, you're right.
It's
or some kind of award.
So funny.
Everyone's got an award here.
Oh, and I was blown away the other day. Jack and I were looking at some office space very close to our home. And it's in an interesting environment where you have lots of different sizes of office space. And it looked like we were up on a deck overlooking the ocean view, because of course this office space happens to have an ocean view and beautiful deck. It's just gorgeous. And I look behind me and it's clearly someone's private office. And I can kind of see over above the line where the windows are kind of clouded, they have a shelf. And it was not one Emmy or Oscar or Grammy, but like 10 or more. I'm like, it was just rows of them. I'm like, whose office is that?
So I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it until we spent a lot of time here, that there's video and audio production companies that win all kinds of awards. It's not the ones that you see on Saturday night on these awards show, but they're given by their peers, issued by their peers. And so every time you see a piece of audio or a piece of video, I mean, you know, in that television or movie format or sports and stuff, there's a huge production company behind it. It's a lot of work, like a ton of work. And people get awards for that. It's cool.
Exactly.
But we all sit around and think about actors and directors and stuff, but there's so much other stuff going on.
That's really what I was talking about, the actors and directors, because there's a lot of that too.
You know what I noticed about that office? I noticed about that office is that the lights are turned off and everything was locked. And
nobody's there.
Yeah.
It's just a place to store their stuff.
I was an auditor a long time ago. Not a tax auditor, but an accounting auditor. And we used to go into these huge manufacturing buildings in facilities in the Midwest and audit their financial statements. And the owner was never there. There's always you can picture an industrial building that's a mess, right? And then there's a little office over there. It's all decorated. His wife's decorated. And they're just never there.
I want a company just like
I do
that.
Too. That's what I mean. It's as if to say, you know, I got something better to do today.
Yeah, you guys got this,
you guys
right?
Figure it out.
Wow. How do you get that?
It's just an empty office with a bunch of papers on it.
Right.
2 weeks of mail unopened.
Exactly. Because it's not worth his time.
Back then, you know, there was an older woman that probably was just really running the company.
Right.
Which started out as his quote-unquote secretary, which you can't say anymore.
Right.
Assistant.
Right.
She's probably ordering everything and making decisions and probably selling. She's probably running the whole thing.
Well, how many times I love those stories, by the way. We all know, we've read stories along those lines where they started as a secretary back in the day and they are now the CEO.
The CEO of Coca-Cola started in the mailroom.
Thank you.
He did not speak English when he got the job.
Seriously?
Yeah. He's the CEO of Coca-Cola.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
Which I think makes a lot of sense for the record, because actual Coca-Cola itself, America's not the largest customer. The rest of the world
is it South America?
Yeah,
that's what I would think.
I mean, I don't know exactly what the numbers rank like, but
I would say South America.
People out of this country drink a
like
lot.
Brazil and those countries, I would think. So very cool.
Where's my Emmy, Jill?
Oh, it's coming.
I don't want an Emmy. I have no interest in an award. I have no interest in ever going to an award ceremony. Oh, you're looking at me like I'm nuts.
It's okay.
You want an award?
No, I don't need an award. Right?
Yeah.
No, I really don't. I don't need an award. I don't want an award. Thank you, though. I appreciate that.
Crack me up. She just kicked me under the table.
I don't. I'm totally being serious. That's not my thing. No, you know what I want? I
want
to know that I help people, and
that's what
we're doing.
That's
so
what I want.
All I want is what I get, and I want more of it, which is, oh my gosh, you changed my life. Thank you.
You know that?
That's it. That's what I want.
Jill and I got a gift basket recently that we have. It's
I'm gonna take some pictures
on
of
our
it.
It's on our kitchen table, on our kitchen counter. It's a piece of art,
I don't even want to touch it.
I don't want to open it either.
I know, it's perfect. I'm gonna take some pictures of it, and we got to celebrate that, because they put a lot of thought into that. The ribbon even has
who sent that to us?
Merit.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Merritt.
That was
and
a
family.
Really nice gesture.
It was awesome.
And the note that was with it was, you know, you guys are changing our life and changing people's lives. Jill and I, I'm going to brag for a second, along the lines of helping people. Probably once, maybe twice a week, we get a heartfelt, usually from a member, sometimes it's somebody that came over from somebody else's group, just thanking us. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do this. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Emmys or Grammys or any of that crap.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I love when people send us emails and say, thanks, you guys are the real deal. This isn't a bunch of malarkey guru crap. You give some good advice, but you're kind of idiots. But I can see through all the idiocy because there is some good advice in there. Those are my favorite kind of emails.
My favorite are, I just told my wife to quit her day job.
Yeah.
And my family can breathe right now. And I don't have to think about the mortgage because now I have the stuff coming in.
That's a great.
You know, even if nobody's quitting their day jobs, just knowing that, whew, man, I'm on track now to actually pay for my kids' college, you know, or something like that. That's way better than an award.
I'm going to get all weepy if we keep talking about this.
Thank you, Jack.
Entertaining real estate investment.
And maybe some inspirational tear-felt moments, too.
Today, Jill and I talk about the essential real estate investor tools that you might need and probably some stuff you should just forget about. Before we get into that, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. So this is a string of posts that looks like started with a question, and we have a bunch of different people commenting here, so it's really cute. So I'm gonna read one, Jack, and you read some with me, okay, please?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna read for what the person, it's B. Walden. So B. Walden asks, I'm about to do a deal on a property worth $20,000 to $40,000, and I'm wondering if I should wait for TitleMind or use a local title company.
Curia pipes in and says, since TitleMind is going live this Monday, I would wait.
So B. Walden then shares, I couldn't wait. I'm getting the property for $1,000 plus.
This is my kind of guy.
This is so good.
I can't wait.
Plus paying off $3,000 in liens. Recent comps have it valued between $40,000 and $55,000, and it was just assessed for over $40,000. My only problem is the title company is freaking out over the fact, like they have a word in this, that the sales price is only $1,000 and are treating the deal like someone is committing a crime. Yeah. Ha ha ha. Can't wait for TitleMind already.
Yep. And Milan pipes in at the end here. I would close the deal on your own. Why bother with the title company? They kill the deals and by letting you, the seller, wait forever. Seller might change their mind while title closes and the deal takes 1 to 3 months. Amen to all three of you.
That's true.
Here's the thing. Title companies in these rural little areas get real personal and they get possessive of their real estate. And they don't, you know, I've had deals swiped out right from under us where the title agent or their title's brother-in-law goes and closes the deal. So I have to go with Milan on this. I think that you should go in, buy the property, tell the seller that you're actually going to buy the property and do the deed yourself. Mm-hmm. Then I would... And tell the seller that it's not over yet. We are going to get title insurance. So we're going to have to go through escrow/title maybe a week later. Mm-hmm. So what you're risking then is the fact that there may be a serious cloud in the title, which, you know, we all risk that. But again, 15,000 deals later, we haven't had this problem ever. So I'm knocking on wood.
Right.
But this is a run to the bank situation. I would pay the $1,000 and worry about the liens later.
Mm-hmm.
Not I think completely control the property. Go ahead, Joe.
For me, this is one of the reasons that we're creating TitleMind. One reason is what title companies charge is robbery. Frankly, it's ridiculous. The other thing is not only do they kill deals, I think they probably kill deals on accident, and then sometimes they kill deals on purpose, and that's just wrong too. There's so many things that just don't sit well with me.
Yeah, and here's
and why we want to do this on our own.
Completely right, Joe.
Yeah.
Here's a whole, and I'm going to make this in 60 seconds, the history of escrow title. Long time ago, you had to close a real estate deal with an attorney. And the attorney, like when there are horses and carriages, and the attorney knew all the people in town. And so that's how it got recorded at the county and the whole thing. It was a total ruse because anyone can do it and could do it even back then. Somebody in California got the bright idea that this is silly and it's too expensive. We're going to call this, start this thing called escrow with title insurance, with insurance companies. Title insurance companies started escrow, which was a fantastic rogue thinking out of the box idea. What's happened since then is everybody got complacent. Mm-hmm. And everybody got really greedy, and now they're charging too much. These are insurance companies we're talking about, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's time for a change.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a revolution. And that's what Title Mind
is. It's like, you, when you said that, Jack, I pictured you riding into the town on a horse.
What color is it?
With It's a black horse. It's a black horse. But yeah, you can't wear a white hat. I can't see in a white hat. So, but the sentiment is there. Even though you're cool, you know, it's, you're not the Lone Ranger riding in. But yeah, you had, it's the same sentiment. There's a new sheriff in town. That's what I just saw, and it was you on horseback.
You know, if you go to our website, jackjill.com, right at the top, it says "Changing the way real estate gets done." That's what this is.
Well, you know that logo, that image I'm looking at it right now on your computer of the cowboy and the thing? Oh, that's hilarious. There is a new sheriff in town. This should be our new, that should be part of our thing. Title Mine. There's a new sheriff in town.
Okay, so that's the good news.
That's so to go with that.
Here's the bad news. We are having a heck of a time staffing Title Mine, so we've got to push the open date back. So,
it's true.
We'll get it done.
We
had to delay the offers to owners. I have to say, by the way, offers to owners as a business for us has just put us over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Both by helping people, by sending us gift basket level help, and you know, it's profitable. So,
well, it's providing a solution. This is what I'm doing right now personally.
That's what Title Mine does.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
an unfilled need. It's providing that.
Well, right now what's happening with Offers to Owners, not to plug Offers to Owners, but I'm just saying it's awesome. There's so many people out in the real estate community that are not necessarily in, do exactly what we do, but they do need the data. And so we're able to pull real specific lists and things for them where that if you call the county, it would take you, you know, weeks to get this stuff. And we can just pull it and have it to you in an hour. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's truly amazing.
So thank you. I'm happy.
If you have a question or you'd like to hear the answer on this show to your question, post it on jackjill.com. Today's topic, the essential real estate tools that you need and maybe some non-essential ones too. It's not what you think, Joe, the show. It's not, oh, you need access to the data. You do need access to the data, and everybody knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, know how to access data, the best way to do it is to snoop around the internet for a while, check out the price real quest if you can, and the whole thing, mm-hmm. and then come on over to us, and we'll sell it
to you for
way less, like at literally 1/10 of what it would actually cost you if you went in and got it yourself. So, mm-hmm. it's not what I'm here to talk about, those type of tools. We all know that you need a computer and a compliant spouse and the whole thing. I'm talking about an attitude. Mm-hmm. The tools that you need to really succeed at this or anything else, you have to come at it with an attitude like, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacle throws its face up, you're going to get through it.
That was my first thought that popped in my head also. You have to say, I'm going to make this work, period.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take no for an answer. Whatever it is, whatever problem comes up, I'm solving it.
Take my word for it. The first mail you do is probably not going to work the way you want it to. Something's going to happen. No matter how much education you have, no matter how much you go on Land Investors or anywhere else that you get education to try to hedge off what happens until you actually do it, it's, you know, you don't know what you're going to face until you really get in there, just like marriage.
Before you said that, I was going to have a very valuable comment, which is just like any job. I mean, what do you think training's for? And I mean, I can't think of any venture that you would go into and it's going to be perfect. You know, you're going to make mistakes. There's always a learning curve no matter what you're doing. Why do people think this is different? Why should you think this is different? Did you think this was different, Jack?
Did I think this whole land investing / real estate investment thing was going to be different?
Why do you... Well, okay, here's the bigger question. why do some people start down this path and expect it to be perfect? Is it them? Is it their innate thinking, or did we? I don't know. You know what I'm
Yeah, so it's, I used to think it was generational. It's not.
Okay.
I know cross-generational people that that get up in the morning. My dad's like this, truth be told. He believes everything should just go well. Mm. Everything.
Car somebody should told start, me, told him, everything should be perfect, traffic should just part as I'm driving.
Well, I think it all comes from, it all starts in school, in grade school. You know, we're all judged on. You should get A's. You should get good marks. You should get 100 on a test, not 90. And that's ridiculous.
Right.
You know, math came really easy to me. So I always got good marks in math, but not so much in some other stuff. So, and then you get ridiculed for it and all kinds of stuff happens. And that's just not what education is. Education is trying something and falling down and trying again and falling down and mm-hmm. trying again and falling down and then becoming actually relatively good at it. And at the same time, checking to see if you like it. Mm-hmm. You might not like it, you know. I love the social studies / math right. and writing, but there's other stuff I can't about education. I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
it's about
right.
problem solving and sticking to it and things like that. So none of that Funny. Involves doing it perfectly the first time out.
Right, you do make mistakes.
That said, I do think this younger generation, and I don't think it's millennial specific. I just think young people in general, no matter the generation. Have less patience and they just expect stuff to happen.
Maybe that's
happen
it.
Well, the way
okay.
it should go.
The less patience, I understand.
There's, you know, this is, we're in a computer, like it or not, we are in computers for, this is it. Mm-hmm. And probably 20, 30, 40 years from now, it's not going to be the little notebook device with a keyboard and stuff on it. It's probably going to look very different. However, that's what it is now. It's a keyboard and there's typing mm-hmm. and there's a lot of reading. And you're going to spend, if you're any good at this at all, you're going to spend 8 to 10 hours on a computer looking at data and using data and understanding what a mail merge is and all of that. And it's to nobody's fault. If that's not for you, mm-hmm. I get it. I'm serious. If you're a people salesperson, don't want to really dig into any of this stuff, that I totally get it.
Right. Someone's going to write an algorithm for this someday. We all know that's coming.
That's right.
It's going to be very interesting. I hope it's you, Jack.
We'll be gone.
Oh, it's going to be after that?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you imagine to really have an algorithm that is to see a downturn coming and be able to know when it's going to be so you can, A, plan your life, you know, personally, and then B, think about acquisitions professionally?
Wow.
Absolutely. So think about where the stock market is now. The vast majority of the trading is high velocity trading by computers yep. based on the performance of a stock and what it's done in an algorithm.
Right.
You know, like the weather that day or what's gone on in South Africa that day, for sake of argument. Or so, you know, companies like Zillow and Trulia and anywhere you see a house value on a computer like Redfin, that's an algorithm. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, you could use that algorithm and drop it by 20% in most cases or some number. You could write an algorithm on top of that algorithm to price the thing for you.
Brilliant.
But this is the crap I sit around and think about.
That's brilliant. I'm
And try not to involve you in, respectfully.
Well, what? But you know what? Dude, this makes me want to kiss you. This is good
what?
Stuff. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's making me all warm inside.
I thought that buying you flowers and taking you out on a boat and stuff is that's
well,
what
that,
I would rather do that.
They both are good. It's great. So what other, I'm trying to think, you have confidence.
Yeah. Go ahead. That's your area now.
And
can't teach that.
An essential real estate investor tool. Can you? You know, you just brought up a good point. Thank you, Jack. An essential real estate investor tool is confidence. And sometimes, if you act like you know what you're doing, you sound like you know what you're doing, but you're kind of winging it. That's okay. That's a good thing.
That's a short-term fix to getting yourself out of it. This is just my opinion.
Okay.
I've heard you say this before, actually, mm-hmm. for years. And I believe that there's a huge value to that,
mm-hmm.
but I think
but, yeah,
that you
short
better,
term, not
you better
long
cut
term.
It out
no.
real quick because you better then get yourself out of that environment and then go find out the answer because
We're saying the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I only mean that. Well, here's what I'm saying. Say you're brand new and you're a brand new investor and you're talking to a lot of sellers and you're not sure you sound good. You know, create a nice script, get comfortable with it, practice it, you know, get your tone down so you do sound confident and knowledgeable. And you know what? After 10 of those phone calls, you are confident and knowledgeable. That's really what my point is. But when you're starting out, maybe you're not that confident. Maybe you're not so sure. What?
It's funny that you say that because really recently, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, I was doing something that had to do with, it was either the show, I think it was actually a piece of real estate. No, I was buying a piece of real estate. And it all just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I actually know what I'm doing.
Oh.
I just had this feeling like, I just heard what it came out of my mouth.
Wow, is that me?
You know what?
Wow, that guy's smart.
We really are buying like a ton of property in this one area. There's no way that even really seasoned real estate professionals in this micro area
that's funny.
That know building by building, they know that they're not looking at this the way that we do.
Yeah.
Which is from a data set mm-hmm. and pricing it properly. It's all emotional, social relationship crap.
Yeah.
That they were all. I'm talking about real estate agents.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jack, I've actually had that same thought about you too. Wow, he really is know what he's talking about. At least he sounds like he does. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. How many years ago was that?
Oh, every day.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
You're being nice.
Just kidding. So that's good. Well, I'm trying to think. I love your thinking. Where you, as always, whoever writes the topics, it's funny how the other person, we see it so differently.
Right.
So when you wrote this topic, I really looked at the tangible tools, not the internal or inspirational, it's, you know, on my side of the sheet, but the kind of person you are tools.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. I'm trying to think, as a successful investor.
This could apply to anything. If you want to be a lawyer and you're in law school, you're going to have this conversation with yourself. Sometimes it's subconscious, sometimes it's not. I want to be a lawyer who's going to prosecute people who are racist, let's say. Or I want to be a lawyer who's at the top of a corporate law firm. I want to make partner and I want to take the firm over. So when you're having these kind of conversations with yourself, I want to quit my job. I am so sick of this job, but I can't because I have a mortgage payment and 1,300 kids. I'm going to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, every morning until I can turn a bunch of deals. That's a true mm-hmm. story. We had a person on the show on our Thursday call like 3 or 4 weeks ago. That was it. So you have to have that. You want to talk about an essential investor tool? That's it. You have to have that conversation with yourself.
And then you have to be able to dissect it, take it a step further. You work it backwards.
Yeah.
And that was the conversation. Like, all right, so you want to be at this level. Let's see how long it's going to take you to get there. And that's where you jump in with your spreadsheets, which I think are fantastic. And that's how you explain it. Like, okay, you want to be churning this many deals a year. Okay, then that equates to this many deals a month. And that equates to this many deals a week, and you have to each deal has to yield this amount of money.
Yeah.
And by working it backwards like that, that's how you get there. It's the same conversation I have with our kids. You know, when they say, I want to be, we have one that wants to be an architect. So my mm-hmm. thought is, all right, well, we need to get you with an architect, number one.
Yep.
Well, I want you to spend some time with them, see what they do on a whole day, and really make sure this is what you want to do. Because
mm-hmm.
he's kind of social. And I don't know how much social goes on with architects. Maybe they spend a lot of time, you know, in closed doors with a ruler, you know, or now it's CAD.
And a needle in their arm.
Right, something. And so he needs to first get a feel for that. And then my number one thing is talk to the architect and work it backwards. Let the architect tell you how best to get here. Because every professional person can tell you, this was the good stuff, this is the bad stuff. You know, let me save you some time. Don't go to this school. I wish I would have done it this way. And a lot of, I've talked to a lot of young people that they didn't even think to ask those questions. I'm like, you got to, I mean, come on.
What was really important
to
you when you're
silly?
Did you have some version of this conversation with yourself?
You know,
or did you have a hope chest and just want to get married? You don't strike me as a hope chest.
No, I never had a hope chest. No, I never cut out pictures of wedding gowns and saved my grandmother's quilt for my children someday. Never did any of that.
That's one of the reasons I adore.
No, I just wanted. You know what my number one goal growing up was? Just wanting to travel. Yeah. My parents did a really good job of getting us out there, and I love adventure, and for me that was travel, and I just loved going places and seeing people in other countries and meeting them and learning things, and getting on an airplane for me was a blast. That's what started the whole flying thing for mm-hmm. me too. I love the butterflies in your stomach at takeoff and landing are the best thing on the planet for me. I love it. I know you break out in a cold sweat maybe, or other people might break out in a cold sweat, but for me I'm like, that's exciting time.
I love turbulence too.
It is kind of funny. It's like a roller coaster feeling. So that's really good.
I mean, the conversation I had with myself, and it's the same one. It's the same one since I was four, is I want to be loaded.
Oh, so not necessarily what kind of occupation, you just wanted that.
I knew I didn't want to be a drug dealer.
Well, I would like to ask you as a man, when you say loaded, I bet you have an exact dollar amount in your head.
I do.
Thank you.
A dollar amount. Okay. We long have passed it.
Oh, well, that's really seriously?
Uh-huh.
Even with today's inflation rates? Like,
yep.
Oh. Well, that's good to know.
That's what this Loan Academy business is all about.
Oh.
That's what this Jack Joe thing is, because we've long passed all of that.
That's
this is
great.
Now, you know.
What a great place to be.
People. Yeah.
Wow. That's really awesome. So, good. Thank
now
you.
I just
want
to, now I, you know. We're going to institutionalize the whole thing.
Well, you know what's nice about it now? When you reach whatever your milestone is, and when you can then be in the position where we are, now you're like, you have no fear, because there's no, if it doesn't work out, my life, my livelihood and my, nothing's dependent on it. I can make crazy, take crazy risks, if you will. Let's try this Land Academy thing. Let's see if we can help people. Oh my gosh, we can.
Right.
Yay. And if it didn't work out, we would say, okay, well, we tried.
Let's
that
see
was
if
cool.
10 people listen to the show. Oh, if 10 people like it, then maybe 20.
Maybe. Well, that's another one. That's a good one. Let's do a podcast show. And I'm like, well, you want to do what? And then mm-hmm. here we are. And if it didn't work out, it's not like I was needing it. It was just like a cool thing to let's try this.
Cool ass gift back. This let's, gift basket. Let's
Yay.
See if we can get another one.
Yeah. We help this many people do these deals. Let's see if we can make them do bigger deals and help more people. How cool is that?
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another half hour listening to the Jack and Jill show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss why bigger deals require less money. It's ironic but true.
And answer Rob's question about our 2-page letter format.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Hilarious, Jill.
Thank
you are hilarious.
You.
You're being super nice today. What's going on?
Thank you. Well, you know what? I woke up with a feeling.
Well, what kind of feeling,
feeling
was that?
Is today's going to be a great day. I'm totally being sarcastic.
Okay, Tony Robbins.
Yeah, right. This is a good show. I like it when you pick shows. Well, I think that's a new format. Is the new format going to be more...
I don't know if we're pulling this new format off.
Jill's... centric than like inspirational centric than because we're still getting a lot of information in there because that's just who we are. We always provide good content based on our experience, but now maybe we're just getting to talk about it more in a different way, and I like it.
Here's what I thought about before we change the format. There's a basic information that has to go on when you buy and sell real estate, and it changes once in a while, and everybody needs to be notified of that, and there's different ways to look at things, but it's basic.
Mm-hmm.
Like accounting. Or you know what, even a better analogy is geography, right? Once you memorize all the countries in South America, in general, they're not going to change. There might be some stuff and different ways to look at it, and maybe some population shift and some stuff happens. Maybe their GDP changes in each country. But in general, it's the same. Well, that's what this is. It's the same. I'll tell you where, after doing this for 2 years, Land Academy specifically for 2 years, what I'm seeing people need is not how to utilize data. Once they get past that,
it's true.
Past the data piece, they're now I've got a running start.
Right.
What they need is confidence. The stuff we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stay on track.
It's true.
You know, they need motivation.
Mm-hmm. That
life gets in the way, man. if you're married with kids, there's all kinds of crap that goes on every day that just keeps flying at you.
You know what I'm going to end it with? Hashtag stay motivated.
Oh, yeah. That's your whole thing, isn't it?
Gee, your women's group thing. Thank you. I love it. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And, hey, while you're there, please rate us. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.